Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Juvo Hub podcast. We are grateful to have you as awesome listeners and viewers to this show. Mark and I are going to take a little different direction today, as we wanted to both get into a conversation of sort of a series on what learning and development departments face. You know, what are some of those challenges that are out there? And to be able to kind of give you our take on it and our experience, what we've seen, and some things to keep in mind as that department, if you have one, or if you're thinking of having one, you know, what are some best practices to keep in mind? So what do you think, Mark? Is it a good subject for our industry? Do you think it's something that we need to talk about? What's your
It is, I'll tell you. Yeah, absolutely. The first three, I think, that we want to discuss are some pretty important topics too. And these first two speak straight to my heart because they absolutely have, and I want to say this delicately, been difficult, you know, difficult challenges when you're thinking about the organization that you're working for and learning and development and making major changes to either an LMS or a pacing, what we call pacing. You remember back in the days when we had to do people's pacing for them. And it's this constant discussion of, you know, what makes the most sense when you bring in a new HR director or a new compliance director and they want to change everything that your organization has already been doing. And I have lived through that nightmare before many times, actually. And so, yes, I think this topic, these three sort of topics, if you will, in this session are very, very important.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot that are out there, but well, maybe the guests do. I don't know. We'd have to poll them. Does anybody really want a four-hour podcast? I don't know if that would work out so well. We want to keep it within our typical constraints. So within the framework of a learning and development department, you're an L&D director of learning and development for your company. We're going to focus on the organizational components and when there's changes to that, to speak to what you're just mentioning, when technology changes, how do you deal with that? And how do you rally the troops when all of a sudden there's a big systems change that involves learning and development? And then one, I know that, man, it's just near and dear to our hearts, especially not as clinical maybe as those other two, because we're teachers at heart. You and I are both educators. We have a lot of people who listen to this show that are educators. And so how do you deal with engagement and making sure that those that we teach are retaining the best? Are they engaged? And how do we deal with the challenges that are associated with that? So let's talk about the first one for a minute, Mark. So organizational change. Yes, I know. You've told me many stories. Changes in ownership, changes in, properties that are being bought and sold and so on. So what are the challenges and what are your thoughts on, when these big changes take place, what does a learning and development department need to do? What do they need to think about?
Sure. And I want to challenge anybody that's listening to this conversation to email us, reach out to us. If you have additional comments about these three titles or what we could call, subtopics in this discussion, let us know, because these are my thoughts and these are your thoughts, Jonathan, that you and I are just sharing together. But what I would love is that if this sort of sparks someone's interest and they have something that they would really like to talk about, then we could hone in on any one of these subcategories here and really take it into its own show, right? Yeah. But for the organizational change, for me, from my perspective, is that I feel like there needs to be an understanding of where things were and what truly needs to change. Meaning if it's just one person that's new to the organization, but that has a voice that you know, they need to be heard. And sometimes that could be a power issue. It could just be a, you know, it's my way kind of issue. But it's funny to me that when people enter the organization and want to change everything about it, you know, and why, where is the why behind all of that change? And I'm only speaking from a training perspective, you know, like changing up the curriculum or making things go away or making things mandatory. So please know that's where my train of thought is right now on this, is that when you don't sit down and try to pull a committee together, and when I say committee, it should be people that are chosen, maybe a regional, maybe a couple people from the corporate environment to a leasing consultant, a manager, somebody from maintenance, where you pull a committee together and you ask for their feedback, or mm-hmm. you send out a survey to the company as a whole and say, what is it that you would love to see change here, if any? I think that we don't do that often enough, and we're not hearing from the people that when we make these changes, that's who it affects. You know, it affects them, because it's so funny. You and I both know from our LMS days that we've spent hours upon hours rewriting curriculums for an entire organization, all the way from corporate down to the groundskeeper, right? But at the very last moment before we hit that trigger button that launches the training curriculum, I always used to get this telephone call or this email that would say, hey, can you hold off on the corporate training? Because we're not really going to do that. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. Right. We spent hours on what was mandatory, and you guys absolutely should be responsible for some of it. But it is so funny to me that it's the people usually in the organization that want to make all these changes, but then don't actually aren't responsible for taking any of the courses that are assigned to them. And so I just think it's very valuable that you let your employees have a voice, ask them what they would like. And look, I'll tell you, even from our days of creating these types of LMS curriculums, times have changed. People don't want a 4-hour session on one particular topic. Sometimes they don't even feel that it's necessary for their particular role. So you have to really sit down and evaluate what is the most important type of material for them, and try to imagine how much time in their workday are they going to have to actually complete it. So for me, that is one of the first things about an organizational change that really is that we don't take into consideration who these changes are affecting. And it is the learner. It's our employee out on site. And they are inundated with responsibilities that way surpass the, you know, monthly curriculum alerts that they get. Hey, you have another fair housing class due, or you have a, you know, emotional intelligence class due, or time management. You know, those things are probably very secondary to them. But when you go in and shift all that around, or make it mandatory, or remove it, or something, it's very, very confusing for them.
Yeah. It's kind of like that pebble in the water visual, right? You know, you drop that pebble,
that ripple,
and it has that ripple effect. And sometimes it doesn't feel like a pebble to others when there's a big organizational challenge. You know, it's a boulder. You just tossed a boulder in, and it's like a tsunami of changes have taken place that may not be have considered. So I love how you put that, Mark. And I agree with you. It's, you know, what are the fallout, so to speak, or the implications that are going to happen with any type of change. And it can be from not just in a training curriculum. And you mentioned this, like maybe there's a new leader and a new leadership role. So we have someone who is new to the marketing department, the new VP of marketing. And now under that leadership, there's going to be some changes. That's an organizational change. We've had so many guests that have a variety of approaches to doing sales and marketing. So that training curriculum is now needs to reflect what new leadership comes into play. So how do you communicate that? Is your curriculum built in a way that it's easy to pivot to make those adjustments. And for the person who's taking that position to be mindful of, you know, no, we're not, we don't need to necessarily throw everything in the garbage that we've been doing. And some things may need to, and that's totally possible.
Sure.
But at the heart of it all, understanding that because you're dealing with human beings and we all struggle with change in different ways. So when those big organizational moments happen, to just keep those things in mind and have that as part of your, as from a learning and development perspective, is that part of your mantra?
Right.
Thinking about the people that are being affected and how they're going to be able to retain any of these changes.
Yeah. It's invaluable to really want to get inside of the head of your employee first before you make those major changes to any type of education in your organization, no matter what type of change that is. It could be an ownership change, which, you know, look, in that case, you're probably going from one set of standards to a new. So you have to do a lot of changes. And But I say this because it's funny. A lot of times when I'm out on site working with teams and somebody will say, well, that's not the way I used to do it at XYZ community or XYZ company. And a lot of people get offended by that. You know, they're like, I hate when people say that. But that's not how we do it here. And it's like, yeah, I know, but it's okay. It's what they're accustomed to. It's what they were taught. So you can't really fault them for wanting to go with the grain. And that's what we also need to understand and remember is that human nature, we want to go along with the grain. Not many of us are pioneers of wanting to force forward, you know, against the grain. And so I think it's something that we definitely need to pay attention to a little bit more when as organizations are making major changes, that we get some feedback from the people that it's actually going to affect.
Yeah. Yeah. We've had guests on the show before. I think back to Kara Rice from Swift Bunny and her comments on the benefits of employee surveys and just getting that feedback. Don't assume that this organizational change, because you and a few others think it's the most brilliant move in the world. and it may be, but is it going to resonate with the company culture, the company organization? So, you know, really, really important to kind of vet that.
Yeah. I worked for a company where I think when I started, we worked with a certain LMS, and somewhere along my maybe first year, the new HR director did not care for that company and wanted to switch LMSs. And so we did in the middle of the year, in the middle of just, I think it was even in the summer. So it was your busiest leasing season. And that's another thing I think we have to ask ourselves as an organization, is the change going to be so beneficial that it is the time, it is the right time to pull the trigger on this? You know, could it wait? Because what you're doing is you are throwing a, like you say, that ball or pebble into a very smooth lake, creating a ripple effect that a lot of us do not accept technology change. And I know that leads us right into the next point here, but the technical change when someone's already overwhelmed and overworked is sometimes what we forget about. Like, we don't necessarily, when we make these changes, it might be because we didn't like somebody at that company, or we didn't like one feature of that LMS or whatever it was, but we're sort of forgetting about that ripple effect. That is it the right time to do this? Is this the best time to do this? And have we educated our employees on why we're making this decision? For me, being out on site and just being told that we have new technology or a new LMS, and this is what you have to learn a whole new process now, that's very frustrating, you know, and not many of us are that technically savvy. And it's, with our last guest, we were talking about great salespeople aren't always, you know, really wonderful with paperwork and all that kind of stuff, or the technology piece of it. And I kind of thought about that too, that it's like every time you change something about your technology, it sort of creates a little bit of chaos in that person's mind. So that's another thing you have to kind of ask yourself, is this the best time to do it? Have I educated my employee as to why we want to do it? Which I think does kind of carry us right into technology, right? Like, why do we change so much technology all the time?
Right, right. And, you know, so you highlight some really, really good points of are you doing it for your reasons, or has it been fully vetted that this is a good change, whether it's any kind of technology, whether it's a learning management system or it's your CRM or it's your property management software or your, you know, there's all kinds of big tools that are out there. And every one of them has their learning curve, but you get more buy-in when the team understands that this is there. Here's the benefit. Here is the value proposition. We will be changing to this and it will do X, Y, Z for you. And we are going to provide ongoing systems type training so that you understand it. The person that we're working with, our account rep is going to do this and this. So we've had a few people on the show too in the past, Mark, and I know I've appreciated their comments and that. So like within a learning and development department, is there that allocation of a technology type trainer? How many times have you and I heard from people and on other shows that our industry, we embrace technology, we make decisions to use new technology, but then it collects dust because like the follow through wasn't there. So that affects the revenue. And then the, you know, the finger pointing happens. Well, we don't know how to use it. So from a learning and development standpoint, what are you doing? Are you part of that conversation that operations is having about bringing in this new piece of technology? And are you working strategically together to make sure that you have something in place that will fully train your team and provide ongoing support when questions come up after a piece of technology is rolled out?
Absolutely. I think that technology is one of the biggest pain points on site today. And when I have asked many on-site employees, where do you spend most of your time? And you, when you think about training, where do you need training? And it's interesting. I hear, well, it's still probably 50-50 on the sales cycle or the soft skills, but I don't know, there's a bigger chunk now because there's so many applications, there's so much technology that they have to know and use and so many different sign-ons. And when they're not, I love that you said a trigger has been shot or pulled to roll out this new, let's call it an LMS, because I remember it even back in our day talking with clients that had a new LMS. And then when I would go and pull the reports to see what kind of activity we had had in the last 6 months, there's been like none. And so I would call the client, I would say, well, what's going on? You know, you have this beautiful system, you have this beautiful car in the driveway and you're not even driving around in it. And they were like, well, yeah, we don't really know who owns it. We don't have any consequences to not doing it. And so for me, I think I worked for this organization where they did this really great thing about technology. They put together a technology committee that not just the IT department or the systems trainer was allowed to choose what new systems the company wanted as an organization. They had a team of people, a few people from on-site, a few people from corporate that would listen to when our vendor partners would pitch something. Did it make the most sense for our organization? Who will own it? Who will be responsible for making sure that it's used? How and when will it get effectively rolled out? It was pretty fascinating, because when you start realizing the who owns it and who's going to be responsible for it, then all the brakes get slammed on and it's like, well, wait a minute. Yeah. I don't really have time to do that. And I would laugh sometimes and I would think, well, you guys are wanting to make decisions on changing technology that you don't want to own, but you think it's okay to make all these changes to the poor people out on site who have, you know, just learned how to use the technology that we have. And what's so funny about it is, as we know, and you know, you're more technically advanced than I am, that technology changes like every day. I feel like I go to sleep and then I wake up and there's a new application that does it better, faster, stronger. It's like the bionic man and woman are back, and I get very confused. You know, I mean, I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't even know how to sympathize, because I just don't even know what a lot of this technology does out on site today. But you know, from a learning and development standpoint, I feel like we throw a lot on the on-site teams and we just dump it. We're like, okay, you have a new CRM and it has all these features. Go in and learn how to use it, navigate around in it. And then we almost blame them or hold them accountable when things aren't done in the right process or order, but we've given them very little instruction, very little knowledge about where some of those components are, and they're frustrated, you know. And again, going back to the Swift Bunny, our friend Kara talking about, you know, employee engagement and retention, employees get very frustrated about big organizational changes and technology changes. And I hear it all the time. Technology is a big pain point for a lot of people out on site. And when you are constantly changing it like that, it just really makes them crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. My wife and I, we still do support for some clients on learning management system products. And I had a support call. You know, I like to do support calls once in a while. We rolled out a new product for a client. And so I wanted to hear, you know, what were the challenges. And it can be as simple as, you know, the world is coming to an end. This product isn't working. But then you come to find out they missed one character in their password.
Yeah.
Or their username. And that just kind of, to me, it reminded me, like, you know, yeah, Mark, you know me. I know myself. I'm a techie guy, but that's me. Mm-hmm. And I don't represent the majority of who our site people are, who our corporate right. people are. What other people are inclined towards is completely different than what you and I are inclined towards. Even though we dated ourselves by talking about the bionic man and bionic woman.
I did, didn't I? These kids listening to this have no idea who, like, that is. Google it.
What is he talking about? What in the world's a bionic woman?
I get told that a lot, that sometimes when I'm doing these types of speaking engagements, I use old school references, and my friends later will be like, you know, they have no idea what you're talking about. Like, dang it.
Yeah. I know, but it's absolutely wonderful, because it's like, I remember being that little kid thinking, oh my goodness, wow, how awesome is that, that they helped this person who had an accident and now they're like super strong because of technology, you know, all the things you think about as a kid with your action hero figures. But you know, I think of, there's something that you mentioned earlier, you know, where you know, we're putting this in the context of like a learning and development department, and I know you feel the same way too, Mark. Both of us have been on that side where we were selling technology and implementing it for customers. Like, we took the responsibility on of making sure that the people that were going to use the product are well trained. And sometimes we hear that from others where it's like, okay, we've rolled out a new piece of technology, and then they don't really hear from their account manager perhaps, or Say there's like a major update that comes, and that happens all the time with any piece of tech. Well, where's the training that's available? So for those who are on the industry supplier side, if you supply technology, it's always things that you know, that we need to take into consideration. Do we have something in place to make sure we communicate this change or that change that's happening to a piece of software? Are we providing enough communication, providing walkthroughs of that new change in technology and so on? So it's like, you don't want to have your technology, just the training, just fall on that learning and development department. Like we have to work together to make sure that we're training, providing updated training, and thinking of all of the different types of learners, just because it's simple in our head. And we're like, that's a no-brainer. You do 1, 2, 3. It doesn't mean, and it doesn't devalue the users. Like, we can't devalue the ones using the product, thinking, well, that's just common sense. Can't do that. You have to understand that they're not you, they're not me.
Well, I'm glad you bring that up, because I think anybody that is listening that has a systems trainer, and then whether it be a training director or soft skills, a sales cycle type of trainer, those two roles are extremely different. Systems trainers don't always make the best soft skills trainers. I'm not saying it can't happen. There are certainly many people in our industry that can pivot and know how to speak that lingo on both sides of the fence, but it's very rare that you see someone who is so technically advanced and understands all the minutiae of how to run the systems that can say it or articulate it back to someone out on site where they totally get it and they understand it. You're not speaking in the same language, is the way I see it. And so many times I would go after maybe a systems trainer had been to a property or even done a call and tried to do some systems training. And like you said, it's very, very simple to them. Oh, sure. You just go in and you click this and you, upload that and you reboot this and you, do a snapshot of that and you download that. And it's like, whoa, you're talking a language that most people don't understand. And you're right. It's you have to sort of go back and find ways to implement little tidbits of training, whether that be little videos, little sessions, 5-10 minute sessions, every Thursday you do different topics. Again, I go back to the whole, why don't you survey your employees and see what piece of the system is most confusing to them, and then train on that feedback. My advice to trainers is, go to your IT department and ask them, what types of tickets do you get on a regular basis? Right. Where are the problems in our organization? That's what I normally do as a training director. My first stop is the IT office. I'm like, you tell me, where do you spend most of your time fixing things on the back end, or, handling questions from our employees? Because that's pretty telling about where your IT department or systems department is spending most of their time. But yeah, it's an interesting piece to what we have to do. And look, systems are needed and they're constantly changing. Yeah. So we got to find a nice little marriage to that.
Absolutely. And I guess we can kind of close this out with, no matter what subject we're teaching, What do we have to do, right, Mark? When we get in front of an audience, typically it's like we want the audience to kind of warm up to the subject. Mm-hmm. We don't have them the moment we're introduced to teach a class. As a matter of fact, they may be in fear. Like, am I gonna use this? Do I need this? Why am I here? All these questions are running through their mind. And I've seen, especially from a technology trainer teaching classes for the Institute of Real Estate Management, like on social media, website, SEO and all kinds of other nerd things, right? And I just see that fear. They're like,
that glazed look in their eyes.
Yeah. They're like, oh, this is, but they showed up, you know, in those cases, they, I mean, they wanted to come. It wasn't forced upon them for those classes. So that I found that intriguing. So it's like, what do you hope to get out of this class today? Like, why are you here today? And we have to do that as technology trainers, trainers in any situation, but we're focusing on technology at the moment. We have to get people warmed up to the idea. We need to just bring it into them in a way that they're going to easily digest. And again, see that value, make sure that value proposition is there. And I love your point about what doesn't work. Don't ignore it. You know,
right.
You gotta be like, yep, I see your point. That's a pile of crap. Can't do that.
Well, it's interesting. You know, you said we would end this out with the learner engagement. You just talked about that. You know, it's what's going to engage your learner, your employee. And look, what one thing I know to be true is we are in a place in our world and business where we have multiple generations at one time in the workforce. It's quite fascinating that I can go out on site and see many levels of generations and look, these, what I call kids today are so tech savvy. They can take apart my iPhone and my computer and build me a hybrid, you know, before the end of their workday. And I can walk around with my, you know, and talk through my
bionic hybrid.
And so it's amazing what they're capable of doing and what truly engages them. And so when I look at this point number three, the learner engagement, I think you have to be very sensitive to the multiple generations. What is their level of engagement? How do they learn? Typically, when I'm working with teams, I ask them, how do you learn? Do you learn by hands-on? Do you want more videos? Do you want SOPs that you can go back and read on your own? Some people love that. I do not. I am not an SOP reader. So it's funny if you truly ask, what is it that you want to learn? What was the one or two things that you would love to walk away us completed while I'm here with you, kind of like you were saying, your Iram kind of guest that we're looking at you like, oh my God, what is it that you would want to take away from this? Find out that one or that those two things that you know could be impactful. That's what's going to engage them, is to feel like, wow, you know what? I was able to retain that and I feel like I accomplished something. There's nothing worse from the learner's aspect to walk away from a training and feel like, am I just stupid that I don't understand any of this? Or, you know, did it just go over my head? Or, you know, where is the miss on the communication? So I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I think there's a couple of different scenarios, you know, for our audience to think about. You have an active client base, and sometimes I think you've shared with me that you may be teaching to the same group of people like over and over again. And for those who run a learning and development department, you have different trainers who are training groups of people on different topics. So you have a unique opportunity to kind of get to know your audience. And then there are those trainers who it's their first time. They've never met anybody. It's happened to me for, you know, being in this industry. It's been rare that I've been, you know, had the exact same classroom of people. It's always different moving, you know, traveling from state to state, from different conferences. And so I don't really get that opportunity. And I miss that, knowing that trainers like you and other guests that we've had, because here's the advantage to me, Mark. It's like, we know there are three types of learners that are out there. You know, there's the auditory, there's the visual, and then there's tactile, right? Mm-hmm. So they've got, you could have a variety of all three of those and a hybrid of, you know, some are a little bit of both or a little bit of all three. And if your classroom is a small enough size, you can make sure that you're covering those needs. Like, you never, from a learning engagement standpoint, it's never a good idea just to have a focus on one type of learning style. Mm-hmm. We have to be able to flow through all three and plan around that. So having that conversation, if you're the learning and development director or the training director, you know, when you're preparing your curriculum, are you having those types of discussions? Can you think of your on-site people and say, all right, I know that last time I taught this class, I could just tell the body language, it just wasn't there. They weren't getting it. They weren't connecting. I was 10 minutes in and they started looking at their phones. So be quick as a trainer to pick up on those cues and see what you can do to kind of improve that experience and, you know, hopefully know more about your audience in order to kind of make those tweaks.
Sure. Yeah. And sending a survey after any kind of session that you do, whether it be systems training or some type of sales cycle, soft skills, get feedback, make it anonymous so they don't feel like there's some type of stress on being truthful. But look, I'm all about feedback. If you didn't enjoy this or there was something wrong with the presentation or the presenter, you know, hey, let us know. That's the only way that we can get better is to find out where was the miss? You know, why did this not keep you engaged? What was it? Was it the content? Was it me? Was it the presentation? Was it whatever it was? But I always try to encourage people, ask for feedback every time you can from your employees.
Right. And I think this conversation maybe can go a whole other direction depending on what you're presenting.
Sure.
Whether you're doing, you know, synchronous training, in-person training, or, you know, we could talk about learner engagement from an e-learning or an asynchronous training environment where they're on their own. And so there's other principles that are involved there. But if, as a learning and development department, you are, you know, in many ways, how this whole conversation has gone so far for this episode, if you're thinking of the group and not of, oh, I have a great thing to teach and boom, this is the best thing I've ever made, you're going to be willing to make those adjustments and make those changes. Every good trainer knows that and feels that they want to know their audience and they want to be able to adjust. And I can't think of any of us that would say, you know, I've been training for 15 years, for 20 years. I'm good. I have nothing else to learn. That's a little cocky or haughty or whatever the word is, maybe, but that's, if we have that mindset of wanting to connect with our learners, then we know the engagement is going to be much higher.
Yeah, absolutely.
So amazing conversation. So this is a good start to part one of learning and development department challenges. So we look forward to our next episode where we'll dive into that again. Looking forward to having some more amazing guests in future episodes and a lot more things on the horizon for Juvo Hub. So please keep your eyes peeled. So Mark, how can people connect with you? Let's remind our awesome viewers.
Yes, absolutely. And again, don't forget, if you want to join in on one of these discussions that we just had, email us. And you can email me at mark@howlcreativeconcepts.com. My website is howlcreativeconcepts.com. Howl is spelled like howl at the moon. So yes, let us know.
Absolutely. Yeah, we'd love to have you on the show. And you mentioned too, Mark, feedback. We love feedback. So please post comments on our YouTube channel, you know, tag us on LinkedIn. We get a lot of response from you, these little side comments and expressions, and we're very, very grateful for them. So thank you so much. We appreciate your support of the show. My name is Jonathan Saar from Juvo Hub, and we look forward to seeing you at our next show. Take care, everyone.
Bye.